Well, guns are at the heart of a question that writer John Cassidy poses in The New Yorker, and it's the heart of our conversation today. John asks, what if the Boston bombers had used guns instead of bombs? What if they'd used high-power semi-automatic weapons with large magazines instead of nail-packed pressure cookers? What would be different? John Cassidy muses his own answers in what he calls a mental experiment, and it got a lot of other people thinking as well. It's drawn hundreds of responses online, many from outraged gun rights advocates who say he's using a tragedy to gin up gun control. But he also heard from people who wondered, as he did, why do we respond differently to these two different kinds of carnage? John Cassidy joins us now with more. Welcome.
Thanks for inviting me on.
And let's set out your ground rule thinking. You say the evidence does seem to point to Boston as an act of terror as opposed to a bullied shooter or a mentally unbalanced loner in a Batman costume. So start with your thoughts. What do you say would be different if the bombers had used high-powered rifles?
Well, I should start by saying, because there has been some outrage about this piece, that it wasn't a comment on the gravity of the attack or the seriousness of it. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously, three people killed, 250 injured. You know, it was a terrible, terrible incident. I was basically asking a sort of broader question, stepping back from this particular sort of horrific attack, and saying, how do we think about terrorism in general and gun violence in general? Is there a link there? Do we think about them completely separately? And the reason I thought about it, it wasn't that I've been thinking about this forever. I mean, the gun control legislation went down in Washington 2 days after the attack. So we had this sort of strange juxtaposition of a terrible violent attack in Boston, and then, you know, 300 miles down the coast in Washington, lawmakers failing to do something about an equally terrible attack in Newtown. Actually, obviously, a lot more people killed.
But do you think if guns had been used in Boston, that would have changed the result in Washington?
Well, I just started thinking, what about if these guys, you know, set out with, instead of their pressure cookers, if they'd gone to a gun show, one of these gun shows in New Hampshire or somewhere, and you know, bought some semi-automatic weapons, what would have happened? And I think several things would have happened. You know, A, they may well have killed a lot more people. It's possible that the police would have shot them and they wouldn't have killed people. But if they'd have been able to open up with semi-automatic weapons, I think they'd have probably killed more than three people before they were cut down or escaped. And then secondly, I think the public reaction would have been different. When you hear of a bombing, especially in a public place like that, most people, I think, immediately thought this was some sort of Islamic terrorist attack. And it does appear to have been an attack by somebody who was influenced by Islamic websites, so that wasn't completely crazy. But if it had been a mass shooting, I think things would have. There have been terrorist attacks, mass shootings in places like India and Pakistan, but in the West and in the U.S. in particular, we tend to think of gun massacres very differently as the work of a lone gun or some sort of deranged post-adolescent. And I think the reaction would have been different.
We want to hear.
Thirdly, I think the gun law, the votes in Washington would have been different 2 days after.
Yeah.
I can't believe that four Democrats would have voted against background checks if there'd just been another gun massacre in Boston.
Well, John Cassidy,
it would have been different.
John Cassidy, I want to pick that up after the break. Some pushback on your thinking and some more of your thinking. What would have been different if the bombers had been shooters? With John Cassidy in 1 minute, here and now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink technical computing software, accelerating the pace of discovery in engineering and science. Find over 200 job openings at MathWorks.com.
And welcome back to our conversation with New Yorker writer John Cassidy, who had a thought experiment in the magazine asking, what if the Boston Marathon bombers had been shooters instead? And as we just heard him say, he thinks the results might have been more people might have been killed, although he acknowledged they might have, the shooters themselves might have been killed by the police. Our perceptions of who was behind the attack initially might have been very different, and also it might have impacted gun legislation, which went down in Washington. John Cassidy, a lot of pushback on this. Let's just go to the perception piece, because you're saying it's not as if you're equating acts of terrorism with mass shootings. You're trying to figure out what the perceptions are of each and how they do shape our reality. What does it matter that, much like when Timothy McVeigh blew up the buildings in Oklahoma City, people immediately thought Islamic fundamentalists, they were wrong. Look, what does it matter to you that this perception is the immediate perception?
Well, I think it's an important public policy issue. I mean, if you just look at compare terrorism to gun violence. I mean, if you just look at the raw numbers, you know, gun violence kills a heck of a lot more people than terrorism do. Does 10,000 more than 10,000 people every year in the U.S. die in gun homicides, but more than 15, like 19,000, you know, suicides using guns. Lots of which presumably, you know, are sort of spur of the moment things which wouldn't happen if the guns were less available. Terrorism, thank goodness, you know, at least since 9/11, has killed very few people relatively speaking. So just in terms of the public threat and the sort of danger to people on a day-to-day basis, gun violence is incomparably bigger than domestic terrorism. But that, if you know, that's not the perception in the country, I don't think, because these terrorist attacks, even though they're rare, they do exactly what they set out to do. They inspire terror into the population. But that's not entirely rational, and I think a lot of it, you know, perceptions do matter. It's not just perceptions. Perceptions shape our reality, and we saw that in this case.
Well, you're saying if you have a small homemade bomb, and by the way, you continually go on to acknowledge it's a horrific thing that happened here in Boston, but the events here produced a massive response from authorities, shut down an entire city. If you shoot a classroom filled with defenseless six-year-olds, there is not the same political reaction. But just stay with that for a second. Three gun deaths would be awful in the city of Boston, but maybe they wouldn't shut down the city because normally gun deaths are somewhat targeted, whereas terror is what terror sounds like. Terror is terrifying. The officials here shut down the city because there was a bomber on the loose with bombs and explosives. It seems far more random. And it seems as if it's an attack on an act of war, an attack on America, as opposed to, you know, sad to say, a calculated shooting, let's say, in a robbery or even in a mass shooting.
Well, I mean, it is an attack on America, so to speak. But, you know, it's a very, very small scale one. I mean, you know, two guys with pipe bombs and pressure cooker bombs in Boston are not going to bring down the entire country. And, you know, a guy holed up in Watertown. He's not really a great threat to somebody in Revere or Marbletown or somebody on the other side of Boston.
But we don't. But so, at the time, they didn't know what it was and how many people were involved.
They didn't know it. Yeah. Well, that's a different debate. How much of the city they should have shut down? I think they acted excessively. But I agree that that's a sort of trade-off, and it looks like people in Boston were perfectly happy for them to shut it down. I mean, I didn't see any reason, for example, to shut down the trains between New York and Boston because of this incident, but. I agree there's room for debate on that one. But I don't think there's room for debate on the larger of issue of how the political system reacts to this sort of thing. I mean, terrorism, you know, just we saw after 9/11, we see in this case, the system just reacts instantly to any hint of terror. Whereas gun violence, we saw in the Newtown cases, the president, you know, and lots of people in Congress tried to change the gun laws, and it failed. The political system failed to react to gun violence as it's done consistently for the last 20 years. Now, you know, the gun owners can say whatever they want about you know, right to defense, etc. That's just a fact of American politics that, you know, it doesn't react to gun deaths and it does react to terrorism.
Yeah. Well, and you heard from gun rights supporters, as we said, they've accused you of mixing apples and oranges. The pressure cooker bombs are used for just one thing. Guns are primarily used for sport. You can't respond to the violence caused by each in the same way. But just getting again to this reaction and the perception that people have of each event, a tender topic, but you're trying to analyze why we respond differently. Do you think it is just the politics, the law, the force of the NRA, or is there something sadly that people have come to accept about the fact that there's nothing much you can do about the deranged, mentally ill person, except, you know, some people believe you can take the guns away, as opposed to what feels to Americans, again, like this existential threat that they're not sure where it comes from?
Well, there may be something in that, but I mean, I think, you know, it can be overblown. That the fact is, if you look at the opinion polls, 90% of Americans supported, you know, expanding background checks to potential criminals and not to gun shows and other places. It wasn't the population who failed there. I mean, I think they reacted perfectly sensibly and said we need to tighten up the gun laws and do everything we can to make sure that disturbed people like Adam Lanza don't get their hands on semi-automatic weapons. The political system failed. You had 90% of the population in favor of something, and the political system didn't push it through. I'm not saying the American people are crazy here. I'm saying that the political system didn't work. Now, in terms of the relative sort of terror which these things inspire, I think, you know, the fact, obviously, that, you know, a terrorist attack is completely random, you know, is terrifying. Terrorism, that's what it's all about. But an attack on a school is equally terrifying, surely. I mean, there's nothing more terrifying than the thought that your kids might be targeted by some nut wandering into the school with a semi-automatic weapon.
Well, John Cassidy, one of your comments reminds us that the worst school massacre in U.S. history was with a bomb in 1927 in Bath, Michigan. A deranged man blew up the school, killing 45, including 38 children. Some compelling thoughts, some compelling thinking provoked by John Cassidy. We are not surprised. John, thanks so much for sharing some of your thoughts with us.
Thank you very much indeed.
And we'd love to hear from listeners at hereandnow.org, on facebook.com/hereandnowradio. Weigh in. Would the reaction have been different if the shooters, the bombers had guns instead of a bomb? Back in a minute, Here and Now.